Luke chapter 2 verse 13. This is the reading of God's word. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you will grant us an ear to hear your word so that we may truly hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that word will make us more like your Son. And that it will cause our faith to grow. And Father, bless us that your word will be preached correctly. And all of us will not only hear, but believe and also obey what you have told us in your word. Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today we are looking at verse 13 of chapter 2. I thought I'd stay on that verse today because even though probably you heard it many times, I really believe it's central to the gospel. So we'll look at it one more time. Well, Jesus Christ is born, meaning God has come. And He is the Savior, the Christ, and the Lord. He came to save His people. He is the Messiah who was promised from the Old Testament. And when it comes to His birth, there are so many meanings that the Bible teaches. But today, we will look at just one in terms of verse 13. The birth of Christ, what does it mean? When Jesus was born, the angels, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praised God. Now, what does that remind you of? Well, this reminds us of Job chapter 38, verse 7. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. This verse is referring back to the time of the creation of the universe. At the time of creation, God tells us all the sons of God, meaning all the angels, shouted and sang for joy. God created the universe and all the angels praising God. And we see the same thing at the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are we looking at? We are seeing the new creation. As new creation begins and we see all the angels praising God. When we read Genesis, we see the creation of this world by our God. God said, "Let there be light." And there was a light, and the creation begins as God separated the light from the darkness. That is what we see in Luke chapter 2. In John 1, we see that our Lord Jesus Christ is the true light. Jesus being born is God coming to this world, which is fallen in sin. Spiritually speaking, this world is formless and void, and darkness was over the whole world. As Jesus comes to this world, He who is the light shines upon the darkness. John chapter 1 verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend. The true light, Jesus, comes to this world, and fallen world, dark world, does not comprehend. The new creation begins, the kingdom of God begins, the king of the new creation is born, but this dark fallen world does not comprehend. God came to accomplish the kingdom of heaven. But this also means that this world is passing away. Jesus' birth, the beginning of the new creation, is the beginning of the end of this world. So the people of God no longer, they are not citizens of this world anymore, but they are the citizens of the kingdom of God. Yes, they still live here on this world, in this world, but they do not belong to this world. John 15 verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. I need you to really think about this. What are we looking at as Jesus is born? We are looking at the new creation. And if that is true, if new creation has accomplished, then what does that mean for me? Then what kind of life that I must live because of the new creation? You cannot live your life as if nothing has happened. Everything has changed, just it's not visible. But there are many people who go to church, they live their lives as new creation never happened. As if that new creation has nothing to do with reality in which they profess to belong. We must see this cosmic change that is brought on by the birth of Jesus Christ. Now everything has changed. Your life has changed. And you must live your life accordingly. Otherwise, you're not living by faith. You're living just like the world. And that's not what Christian is all about. The world is now upside down. Meaning that the world is passing away. Spiritually, it has passed away. Luke chapter 1, verse 52-53. Mary praising God. She said, He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away rich empty-handed. Do you see how our world is upside down? But it's not visible. You see a rich people, he continues to live rich. You don't see how he has fallen, how low he has fallen. You don't see it yet, but I guarantee it, when Jesus returns, you will see how low he has fallen. You don't see exalted these people who were in the low place. They were exalted above heavens. You don't see that because you see them still living in a lowly place. But again, I guarantee you when Jesus returns, you will see how exalted he is. Bible tells us that that has happened spiritually. But people do not comprehend. They do not believe. And you need to understand what that means for you, the birth of Jesus Christ. What does all this story of Jesus Christ, what does that mean to you? Because if you're not living your life according to the reality that His life has brought to us, then you're not living Christian life. You are not living by faith. Because you live as if nothing has happened. The world is just as it is. Nothing has happened. Jesus came, but he didn't do anything. He didn't accomplish anything. It didn't change me anyhow. That's how you live if you do not believe. And it is very serious. In chapter 6 of Luke, we have 4 beatitudes and 4 curses of God. Woe. And there it will, we will see clearly, and I'm going to just say one thing and move on. It says, blessed are the poor. And when you come to the woe section, woe to those who are rich. And when you hear that, you say to yourself, whoa, the world has been put upside down. Because how can poor be blessed and how can rich be cursed? But that's what has happened. Everything has changed. But the Christians, even people who say they believe, do not comprehend. They don't get it. And they see things according to the world. So when they see poor, they say, oh, that's cursed. When they see rich, oh, that's blessed. No, God says, read chapter 6. Ahead of time, that's always good. Yeah, this world will say, what is he talking about? How can rich be cursed? And how can poor be blessed? Exactly, they don't get it. And my concern is that people who go to church, they don't get it. And they live their lives as if nothing has changed. No, Jesus accomplished the new creation. And just because you don't believe it doesn't make it not true. Because that is what the Bible is showing us. And you will see more and more through the book of Luke how everything has changed. And God says this through the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And it is not just talking about the individual changes. No, it is a cosmic new creation. Everything has been changed. And this is the gospel. And the salvation of God's people is not about just becoming a better person. It is nothing less than a new creation. The new world has been accomplished. The heaven has been accomplished. Of course, the new creation is not yet visible, but it will be visibly consummated when Jesus returns. This world being passed away is not yet visible, but it will be visibly consummated when Jesus returns. You and I have been transferred to heaven, and now we live as the citizens of heaven, even though we still live here on earth. Again, it is not yet visible, but it is our present spiritual heavenly reality. Galatians chapter 1 verse 4, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God the Father. To be saved means that we are rescued from this present evil age. Galatians chapter 6 verse 14, but may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. To be saved means that we have been crucified to the world. We are dead to this world. And this world is dead to us. Yes, we still live here on earth, like I said before many times, but we have no lasting relationship with this world. As far as we are concerned, this world is already passed away. And that's how we live. That's why we leave the world and we come to the presence of God and we worship Him as if this world is passed away. Do you understand? Do you comprehend? Brothers and sisters, you need to understand what has happened to us. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. To be saved means that we have been raised up with Christ and seated with Him in the heavenly places. We have been resurrected from the dead already and seated with Jesus Christ at the right hand of God. And this is not just our imagination. This is the truth. But people don't get it. Just like those people who were sleeping on that day when Jesus was born. It was just dark world, the whole world sleeping. And when I say whole world, I get it. The earth is round, so there were people who are other side of the earth, they're not sleeping. Okay. But they slept as if nothing is happening. They slept as if nothing changes and nothing changes. But Jesus was born. Thus now everything changes. Philippians chapter 3 verse 28, for our citizenship is in heaven. To be saved means that we are now the citizens of heaven. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, for He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. We have been rescued from the domain of this darkness and we have been transferred to heaven. Again, it's not visible. But that is our present spiritual reality. The salvation of God is the new creation. The birth of Jesus is the beginning of that new creation. In the language of Exodus, we have come out of Egypt and we have already entered the promised land. Of course, coming out of Egypt and traveling through the wilderness is still also our reality at this time. But we must see that the birth of Jesus Christ means the beginning of the new creation. The salvation of our God for His people. What else we see? We also see the fulfillment of all the promises of God in the Old Testament. Isaiah 65 verse 17, for behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. You know, all your accomplishments, everything concerning this world, we're not even going to remember in heaven. That's God's promise. You know, you're not going to go to heaven and you're going to see me in heaven and say, you know what I did when I was down there? No. We will not even remember. At His first coming, Jesus Christ has already accomplished all of it spiritually. In Luke chapter 2, the reality of the beginning of that new creation is witnessed. The reality of all things have been changed is witnessed. Look at those shepherds. The people who are ignored by the society are now invited to participate in the birth of the King. When a son of an earthly king is born, only the people of high positions are able to come to see the son. Not everyone is able to come. But now, see who is invited to this privileged occasion. The people of lowly status in this world are invited to participate in the birth of the King of the Kings and the Lord of the Lords. And these people, they come as the brothers to the Son. They come as the sons of God. All are the kings of heaven, and all are royal priesthood of our God. Yes, they are of high position in heaven, but still low, lowly in this world. In this world, they are nobody, and yet they are invited to come to see the Son. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen. The things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. If God has indeed called you, you need to understand, you're nobody in this world. And if your whole purpose in your life is to be somebody in this world, you need to be very careful. Because God says, those people that I call, they're actually nobody, despised, lowly of this world. And if you have a problem accepting that because you think you're in the high status, God could still call you. But it's not likely. I have seriously no problem because it's true. People seeing me as the lowly, of lowest, of lowly pastor in the whole universe. They don't have to tell me because I already know. And my purpose is to obey God, not to be the best in the world, best pastor in the world. God, through the Apostle Paul, says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, therefore, from now on we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him in this way no longer. When they saw Jesus Christ according to the flesh, he was an imposter who got captured and who died on the cross just like a criminal. If you see Jesus in a fleshly way, in the worldly standard, that's who he is. But Paul says we don't see him like that anymore. Because he sees the truth. Jesus, the Lord of the Lords and the King of the Kings. The Almighty God. The new creation has been done, so from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Do you understand that? If Jesus has accomplished the new creation, that means that anybody who is in Christ cannot recognize anything according to the world anymore. That's what it means. God says same thing this way in Romans chapter 12 verse 2a. Do not be conformed to this world. We cannot live according to the standard of this world. To live such a way is to deny the new creation. Because you're saying nothing has changed. Jesus did not do anything. Oh, you might give him, okay, credit. Okay, he died for my sins because you don't want to go to hell. But you want to deny everything else. You cannot do that. You cannot pick and choose what you're going to believe and what you're not going to believe. And he died for you so that you could belong to the new creation. Not that you could stay in the old creation and be destroyed with the world together. That's not why he died for you. The old has passed away, brothers and sisters. And behold, the new has come. But anyone to see this reality, faith is required. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Why faith? Because heaven has not come visibly yet. Luke chapter 17, verse 20b, Jesus says, kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. And heaven is not an earthly kingdom. John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servant would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. We now belong to heaven. We have been transferred to heaven. And we have been seated in heavenly places. But this does not mean that the special treatment of this world is given to us. No. Look at Jesus Christ. He is the glorious God, and yet what kind of life did he live? His life is now our life. He is the example. He is the reality. If you want to know what kind of life you must live, then look at him. Look at Jesus Christ. There's your answer. You imitate him. You live like him. Of course, you're not going to be perfect. But there has to be your effort to imitate Christ. His life begins in a manger and lives a life of sojourner, a life of suffering. And this is what our life is all about. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 2. Peter is writing to Christians, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And you go way down to verse chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust which wage war against the soul. He's calling Christians at the time. And he's calling Christians today as aliens and strangers. You are just visiting this world like foreigner. And you're going home. Your home is heaven. But if you live your life as if you're going to settle here forever, that this is it, man. I have to make it here or I break. That's not Christian life. Well, you might hear that as a Christian life, but that's not what the Bible shows us. It's okay, as a traveler, this world is very uncomfortable for us. Even talking with your friend is very uncomfortable. Because they do not comprehend. No. In this life, the life of an ambassador of heaven, that's the life that Jesus Christ has lived. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 and 10 and verse 16, by faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundation, whose architect and builder is God. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, when they went into the promised land, they lived, even though it was promised land, they lived as if they're aliens and they're sojourners, they're travelers. Why? Because they were looking for a city, a better country, a heavenly one. Even in the Old Testament, they lived like this. But when Jesus comes and he accomplishes a new creation, Christians have no excuse not living this life. Oh, before Jesus is born, you might say, oh, well, it's not accomplished. Maybe you said you will do it, but what if you don't? You don't even have that excuse because he has accomplished it. The heaven has been accomplished. The shepherds who were invited to come and see Jesus Christ, they are the possessors of the reality of heaven. God's sons are invited to the place of glory. They are the brothers of Jesus Christ. Do not judge anyone by sight, but by faith. And I told you this many times. I try very hard to see you by faith. Because if I just see you in a worldly perspective, then I have to ask, okay, what kind of job does that guy have or that girl has? How much money she could give it to this church? Or what? But when I see you, in terms of what Christ has accomplished, you're sitting in heavenly places. Glorious sons of God, royal priesthood of God. I dare not ignore you. I can't if I truly believe what Christ has done for you. See, if I don't believe what he has done, if I don't believe in new creation, oh, then I have to value you according to how much money you're going to bring to church. Because that's what the world is. But we are not the world. Contrary to that stupid song, we are not the world. And if you don't know about that song, it's okay. You need to be old to know it. And he says, we are the world. No, we're not. We are not the world. So do not judge anyone by sight, but by faith. Even though they were invited to the place of glory, during their stay in this world, these shepherds, they continued to live as shepherds who were continued to be marginalized by this world. They were not important. They could die tomorrow and nobody would care. But those people were invited to the birth of Jesus Christ. And they come to God as sons of God. Because in the new creation, they are the sons of God. brothers and sisters, they live by faith. And we have to do the same. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, if you are raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We need to obey. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. I pray very hard for God to give you an ear to hear His word. Oh, I could scream. Oh, I could scream here, but if that ear is not given, this is really doesn't matter. At worst, they don't care. In the Old Testament, Amos, God's people were gathered for worship on the Sabbath. And you go, I'll give you homework, read Amos. And there are people, they're just waiting for next day so that they could go out and work and make money. They dare not work on Sabbath because in the Old Testament, when you do, they will kill you. So they were scared. So they act like, oh, yeah, we'll do what God says. So they come out. They come to the temple. And yet they try outwardly observe the Sabbath, but they were thinking inside, I wish the Sabbath goes by so fast. I wish next day comes soon so I could work and make money. If you don't have hope in heaven, then all you have is this world. And if all you have is this world, then you have to be successful in this world. If that's my belief, I'll do everything I could do possibly to succeed. Well, I need to learn English first. Brothers and sisters, this is my point. We live by faith. Either you believe the truth or you believe the false, you will live according to that belief. And if you believe there is no heaven, then this is it. And if I truly believe that this world is everything, then what am I doing here? I mean, seriously, if that's what we really believe, that this world is everything, that there is no heaven, there is no eternity. Oh man, then we're wasting our time here. We need to go out and make it. Have this world. Possess it. So we could enjoy it. Because that's all we have. But if we really believe that this world is not everything, if you really believe that this world is just temporary, at the most 100 years, then eternity. If that's what you believe, then how can you live as if this world is everything to you? I mean, if your whole eternity is 100 years, do you care what happened way at the beginning, what happened in your first day? That's 100 years here is just like a one day in 100 years compared to the eternity. Why do we care? It's like going to camp, right? Do you care what kind of tent your neighbor has? Well, I guess some of you do, but I don't because I'm going home. In a couple days, I'm going home. I don't care. I really don't care what kind of house or what kind of car you have. Really doesn't matter to me. I don't even care what kind of car or what kind of house I have. Because we're going back home. Just a couple days here. Inconveniences, you know, I might not be able to take shower because it's camping. But I'm going home. Brothers and sisters in Christ, at least just brief moment every single day. Maybe just few seconds. Show who you truly are in Christ. So that in that couple seconds, people around you might have just quick glimpse of heaven through you. Because that's all heaven that those non-believers, if they don't become Christian, that's all they're gonna see. Eternity. For eternity, they're just gonna see hell. Forever. Give them the glimpse of heaven. By showing how world has been upside down. So all the world going for that one thing, and you go, no, that's not for me. And you're going the other way. Because you don't belong here. Let's live this life. I'm afraid that if we don't do it, then who? The baby that is lying in the manger is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just like him, we, you and I, who are living a life of suffering and persecutions, are the kings of heaven. Indeed, our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished an amazing salvation for us. The new creation has been accomplished. Thus, we too, with all the angels, we praise God throughout all our lives and throughout all eternity. You are living in an amazing time. In time in which the new creation has been accomplished and with angels, you join their praise of God. This is what your life is all about. Every single day you get up and you praise God because new creation has been accomplished. And that's how you're going to live forever in heaven. Whatever you do, you will praise God. From this time on and forevermore, we praise our God. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. Brothers and sisters, you know, God never begs you. You know, God never says please. But I beg you. And I say please. Show what Jesus Christ is all about. And show what Christianity is all about. Oh, they're going to consider you as a foolish man, foolish woman. But it's okay. And they will never know that blessed are the poor and the woe to the riches. They will never comprehend. But you do. Because you are God's children. He saves you from all that worldly understanding. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word. Yes, when Jesus was born, all the angels praised you, just like in the time of the first creation. Oh, Father, let us truly understand what time we live in, so that we may join those angels in praising you now and forever for the new creation has been accomplished. We thank you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.